This podcast is sponsored by IQBar. Your favorite clean, functional, delicious nutrition brand is raising the bar with a little help from Thomas Keller, Michelin star chef of the French Laundry. IQBar and Thomas Keller have teamed up to create a salted caramel chip protein bar and yuzu mango hydration mix. With toasted macadamia nuts, rich caramel flavor, and brain-boosting nutrients, this bar is like having a Michelin star meal in your pocket. Pair it with the taste bud tingling yuzu mango IQ mix hydration mix, packed with magnesium and adaptogens to improve clarity and mood. With Keller's culinary excellence and IQ Bar's commitment to great taste and clean ingredients, this limited edition collaboration is simply mwah. And the best part is that 10% of sales go directly to Chef Keller's nonprofit, Mentor, that supports aspiring young chefs. Great taste, great nutrition, great mission. Go to IQBar.com today and enter promo code KELLER20 to get 20% off all IQ Bar products plus free shipping. That's IQBAR.com, promo code KELLER20.
Ladies and gentlemen, podcasting since 2005, you're listening to Gamertag Radio with your host, podcaster Hall of Famer Danny Pena, the always opinionated Paris Lilly, and from outside of the norm, Peter Toledo. This is Gamertag Radio.
Hi, welcome to a brand new episode of Gamer Tag Radio. This is your host, Danny Pena. Thank you for listening. I'm podcasting live from all the way from New York City, and I hope you enjoy this episode. Now, we have a special guest on this episode. We have the senior editor at The Verge, Tom Warren. We're going to be talking about all things Xbox, PlayStation 5, all that good stuff. So stay tuned. But first, head over to GamertagRadio.com. You can listen to our past episodes. Make sure to also share that content to others. Let us know your feedback, comments, and if you have questions for the podcast, this is how you can contact us.
Send us your feedback or questions. Give us a call at 786-273-7GTR. Email us at fanmail@gamertagradio.com or leave a message on speakpipe.com/gamertagradio.
You can also find us on any podcast app. All you have to do is just search for Gamertag Radio. It will pop up. Subscribe, follow, or even post a review. It only take a couple minutes of your time. It will help us out a lot if you just give us a review. And again, like I said earlier, make sure to share this to your friends. It will help us out big time. But now, let's go with my interview with Tom Warren, and we'll be right back after this.
You're listening to Gamertag Radio.
All right, so we have a special guest here, senior editor at The Verge. I've been trying to get him for a while now, Tom Warren. Tom, how you doing, man?
Not too bad. I'm very elusive.
Yeah, but
in the night.
By the way, you lived in you live in Europe, right? The UK?
Yeah, so I'm in the UK. I'm in London.
London. So. Awesome. So yeah, so if you see these tweets really, really early in the middle of the night, it's because of that. I thought you lived in here in the States, so I was confused.
Nah, yeah. I should really live there because it would make a lot more sense. Yeah. But I don't know. I don't even know when I'm going to get back to the US, given what's going on.
Yeah, so. It's going to be a while. But Tom, first of all, I just want to say thank you for taking your time to be on the podcast. I know you have a crazy busy schedule, especially now with no E3, but it's kind of like E3-ish with all these news coming out since like May.
It's like a year of E3.
Yeah, definitely. So, but first thing first, for those that don't know, what is it that you actually do at The Verge? Do you only cover Microsoft products or what?
So I'm a senior editor, so I primarily cover Microsoft. Like my history is I started a blog called Win Rumors, which was essentially the Windows and Microsoft equivalent to Mac Rumors, hence the name. And so that's my sort of like beat. But I cover like a bunch of stuff at The Verge, just anything tech related, really. Less on the gaming side, but I do cover a bunch of the Xbox stuff. So, but I'd say I'm more a tech guy than a straight gaming guy, but I kind of straddled both. So.
Oh, cool. So I want to take it back to December when Phil Spencer was at the Game Awards and he showed the console Xbox Series X. You know, then he showed Hellblade, the second game, right? How was your reaction at that time? Because I'm not used to seeing announcements like showing a console at the Video Game Awards. You know, this is like so totally different.
Yeah.
This is something brand new. And I know we had Phil Spencer on our show and he mentioned like why they managed to do that for the first time. What are your thoughts about that? Like the way how Microsoft started really early just promoting this, like compared to like the previous consoles.
Yeah, it was definitely surprising. I think I was kind of half expecting something there. Like that's something that's why we were so prepared to like write about it. But it was super early and just like straight before Christmas. I feel like they've done it a little bit differently this year. So like rather than relying on E3 for like the big bang of news, they're kind of like drip feeding stuff, which kind of seemed like Sony were going to do as well. But then Sony just kept stuff super quiet for a while. I feel like the console unveil was probably, I don't know what to think, whether that's the right time or the wrong time. But I feel like it gave us a lot to talk about for months. And we knew the console for a while. So, I don't know. It was interesting, but it was different. Like, it's not the usual way you'd expect things to be done.
So. Yeah, I mean, the industry is changing because, honestly speaking, companies don't have to rely so much on just making announcements at the typical conferences that we're so used to now because of the internet and streaming and social media. It's a lot easier for companies to do that instead of going to E3, you know? So that's.
Yeah, I think that gave them the opportunity to sort of like own the announce, you know? Like there was, there wasn't like a bunch of other like massive news at Game Awards. Like really, the Xbox Series X was kind of like the big news there. So it kind of worked in their favor there. But then obviously it was super early. So I wonder if it was a little early. But now we've got both, so we can sit and compare. Do loads of memes, everything else. So, but yeah, I think it was a point of like wanting to own the announce and doing it in their own way. So in a surprise way. So
yeah, totally agree with that. Now I was very surprised about the announcement of the digital version console for the PlayStation 5, which we're gonna start talking about Larkhart in a few minutes. But were you surprised too that Sony announce a secondary option, like if people want to go to the digital route, if they get the PlayStation 5?
Yeah, I wasn't exactly expecting that, actually. And I feel like that was definitely a surprise. And like a lot of the rumors that have been going on for the last couple of years have suggested, you know, Sony's changed the clocks on this console. They may have even changed the design. So I feel like this was probably something that came in like fairly hot. And might not have even been part of the original plan for the PS5, maybe. I was definitely surprised by it. I think it's, like I wrote about it the other week, I feel like it's setting it up for an interesting price battle, because if we think that the bill of materials for both consoles are relatively similar, given the components inside, then removing a disc does give that like $50 gap or thereabouts. And that, even if you're Sony and you want to advertise your console at like, I don't know, $449 instead of $499, it just gives you that like marketing leeway. It's going to be super interesting to see what they price these at, and especially on the sort of high end, if Lockhart's going to launch and all that sort of stuff. Mm-hmm. I was definitely surprised by it, but like it kind of makes sense now. So.
So when is the right time for Microsoft to announce Lockhart? Because I know July is going to be a big month for the company because Xbox is going to show a lot of first-party games. But is it the right time to show that console or wait until maybe sometime in August where supposedly we're going to have more like inside Xbox digital events like that in the future during the time I think where Gamescom was supposed to be? But you think that's the right time or you think July is like it's good now just because we got to see the digital version now for the PlayStation 5?
Yeah, I don't think we'll see it in July. I think given what happened with their game event, like, you know, the expectations were set in a weird way and the games they showed were kind of like the in-between bits of E3. Mm-hmm. I think that they've reworked some of the things that they were probably thinking about. So, like, I don't think there's going to be massive news in June, for example. Whereas I think they may have done it then, or they may have done some of the platform stuff then. I think we're going to see all the games and the focus now on games and July and Halo and everything else. And then probably the price and the Lockhart stuff will come after that. So yeah, maybe August, maybe later. I don't know how long they're going to push it. Like, it's going to be interesting to see if Sony goes first or Microsoft goes first on the price.
Yeah, that's the question I was going to ask you. Like, which one will make more sense to go first? Because, you know, I feel like Sony might push their next video late August, and I think Xbox might be the first one to you know what, go forward and just announce the date and price in August.
Yeah, I wonder if the Lockhart thing is going to happen for launch, then it wouldn't surprise me if they announced the price of that first before the Series X price. Because then they've put like a line in the sand on the low end. And then that kind of, it puts some pressure on Sony to then speak about their pricing, but Microsoft hasn't spoken about the Series X pricing. Mm-hmm. So I feel like that might be a way that they might try and leverage things. I don't know. It's going to be interesting, the little games that they'll play, playing off the price with each other.
Yeah.
But I feel like the pricing is going to be pretty similar. Like Phil Spencer's spoken about wanting to match the price this time. And I feel like they're really sensitive to that. So I can't imagine that either company's going to want to take like a massive loss just to, you know, do a big price war. But I think the digital edition gives them, gives Sony like some leverage against whatever they're going to do with Lockhart. And, you know, it gives them some leverage against the Series X if they need to shift pricing or whatever.
Yeah, I mean,
it's going to be interesting.
This is the thing that always got me thinking about Lockhart. Like, why Microsoft hasn't said anything about that console? I mean, there's been rumors about this for a while. And just right now, they're just focusing on the Xbox Series X. Because let's keep it real, Tom. Once the system comes out, we know Lockhart is going to sell way more than Xbox Series X. Similar to PlayStation 5, the digital version is going to sell that because of the price. Those two are going to be way more cheaper than anything than the regular console. So why not talk about it now?
Yeah, I think they're trying to establish the narrative, which is the narrative this generation and the generation to come has been, you know, Sony's got the best first party exclusives, which is true. Sony had the more powerful console at the beginning of the generation, which was true. So I think they're trying to reset the narrative to be like, we have the more powerful console, we have backwards compatibility, we have like smart friendly upgrade stuff. They're trying to like really focus on that messaging so it comes across clear, I think, because you can really see them hammering home with like blog posts and just with their ads, like the 30 second spots that they've been putting on like Twitter and stuff recently. Those are clearly part of their ad campaign that they'll launch later this year. So they're obviously trying out some messaging to see what's going to land. So I think they're just trying to be clear. And I'm just really super curious to see how they'll position this Lockhart console, the cheaper console, and exactly what it'll be. Mm-hmm. Because it's obviously going to be purely for the price play, right? And also for people who still have like 1080p monitors and even 1440p monitors, right? Like not a whole bunch of people are playing on 4K right now. So it could be a super interesting proposition if they get the price right. But The pricing, I don't know how they're going to make it like super cheap considering what's supposedly inside it. So
do you see that as maybe like a $299 thing for Lockhart?
I would be surprised if it's $299. I would expect more, maybe $349. But you know what? I wouldn't even be like super surprised if they didn't sell it at all.
Really?
Which sounds crazy, but if it was like a $20 a month thing, where you get your Xbox Live and your Xbox Game Pass and the console, that wouldn't surprise me.
You know? I never thought about that too. That's a great. That's yeah, a good
like,
one.
Yeah. I feel like that wouldn't. I don't know. Like I think they're going to offer that by. They'll probably sell it separately as well, but they might offer that only at the start. Maybe I don't know. Like, I feel like this console exists for that reason, for subscription stuff. So I feel like they're going to definitely play around with how they launch that. So.
Yeah, that's interesting because they have been experimenting that. First, they did with the Xbox One digital version, and I know they started selling it, I believe, at the Microsoft stores. And they also had a subscription type thing, subscription
all
plan.
Access.
Yes, all access. Yep. And they started doing that as an experiment with the Xbox One. So that is possible that might happen.
Yeah, I feel like the Xbox One S, the digital edition, I feel like it was definitely an experiment to see what the demand would be versus their standard SKU. And I think they've seen that the demand's a lot higher because of the $50 retail price. Mm. Although everyone was like, oh, how comes it's, you know, this price? Once you start adding bundles and stuff, you know, like retailers start cutting the prices and stuff. So it would be super interesting to see what they do on the subscription side, though, because they've definitely been trying that out. And they kind of like switched it on and then switched it off. And then they kind of brought it back and said, you know, we're going to do it for the Xbox Series X as well. If you get a One X today, you can upgrade in 12 months. So it's going to be, I think it's going to be interesting to see what they do and to see which consoles they'll be selling this holiday season. Hmm. Like I can't imagine they're going to be selling a Series X, Lockhart, and the Xbox One S and the One X. Like that, something's got to go. Because I just don't think four consoles, I don't know, it just doesn't make sense. So.
Yeah, the advantage that Xbox has is, you know, all these games that's coming out for launch, let's say Halo Infinite, that's 100% sure that's coming out for launch. Like, they could easily say something like, okay, you buy the console, you get a 3-month subscription of Xbox Game Pass, you'll get all these games, first party and third party games is available there on the service, and you'll get Halo Infinite bundled up as part of that subscription. Like, you didn't have to buy anything else, you just buy the console and that's it. Like, I could see something like that happening being announced, you know?
Yeah, I think given the current economic climate as well, they'll be looking at that stuff super closely. So I feel like a $20 a month sort of console subscription, like that I think it is $20 a month for the Xbox One S digital at the moment, digital edition. So like $20 to $30 for a sort of next gen, albeit not, you know, the strongest, but still you're going to get like the real benefits of next gen. It could be... Yeah, it could be super interesting. So,
yeah, how important do you think is Xbox Game Pass and also S Cloud for the next generation now for Microsoft, in your opinion?
Yeah, so the X Cloud stuff, because they're kind of like combining the two services into one, essentially. I don't know if it'll just be called Xbox Game Pass with, you know, Cloud or X Cloud, or if they'll even keep the X Cloud naming. But I think that these consoles have been gearing up towards that. So at the moment, like X Cloud runs on Xbox One S consoles. So I think it's like 4 to a blade, something like that. And then next year, they're planning to upgrade those blades to the Xbox Series X or maybe Lockhart. Like they haven't really said exactly the details of it, but I know that they're not doing it until next year. So I think, like, that stuff is super important. I think, like, that's the end goal for this platform stuff. I don't think they... Like, Spencer's talked about, like, not the number one goal being selling consoles. That's, like, not their number one goal now. And they've talked about, like, reaching 2 billion gamers and this sort of stuff across mobile. And I think the xCloud component of that and the Xbox Game Pass is like the end goal. They want people to subscribe to their services like you subscribe to Netflix and you don't really think about it. You just pay and you know, easy access to everything. I think that's their end goal. Hmm. So like whatever they can use hardware-wise and subscription-wise to get to that.
Yeah, how important is Samsung, the relationship with Samsung and Microsoft too? Because I know you could also get that service... just attach your controller to the TV and you could start playing these games without buying an Xbox Series X or an Xbox One.
Yeah, so Microsoft and Samsung have been working quite closely on a lot of stuff, to be honest, like even on the sort of cloud storage side and the Android side. And I feel like we'll probably see a lot more of that. So like xCloud app for Samsung TVs, I wouldn't be surprised if we see that. Mm-hmm. And just like bundling with their TVs and stuff. Samsung has like such a massive marketing power that like getting those services bundled are really important. And Microsoft's done that with like Office and OneDrive and stuff on the phone. So I would absolutely expect a lot more. And they've kind of hinted at this already with their partnership and stuff. But they haven't given us the specifics. Like, we still don't really know exactly when xCloud's going to launch. But I would think it's reasonable to assume that's like a sort of October time sort of thing. And I would imagine Samsung's a big part of that.
Yeah, I mean, I could picture it like you buy a brand new Samsung phone that comes out. And the app is already there installed on every Samsung phone. I can see that. And also other smart TVs also. They'll be smart too, because when I connected, because I had a Samsung TV a couple of years ago, I connected my Xbox One to the TV and it had like a special icon that popped up with the logo of Xbox One. So when I connected my PlayStation 4 and Nintendo Switch, there was no logo. It was just like I had to manually pick what type of device it is that's connected and everything. It wasn't like that with Xbox. It automatically picked it up. So yeah, like you said, there's a strong relationship with them too, and it's been like that for years.
Yeah, and it's all those sort of like nice little nice to haves and integrations that make you stick with that, if you know what I mean. Like I don't know exactly what they're doing for the Samsung stuff, but yeah, I know that they're working super closely. Like, they have designers working side by side with each other on a lot of the Android stuff. So I can imagine that's extended over to the Xbox stuff.
Yeah, I mean, July is going to be a very important month because, look, we got to see the third-party games digital event happen. What was it, last month? Yeah, last month in May.
Yeah.
And, you know, it was mixed, the review. But this time, this is the most important one because it's first party games. I know we're going to get to see Halo and some other surprises. Is there any games that you feel like, man, I think this will be like the one that everybody's going to be going crazy? Like, is there any predictions that you have that we might see in July from Xbox?
I think the obvious big one is going to be Halo. I think that's going to lead the whole event. I think because it's been so secret, and like it's, you know, supposedly open world and stuff and a new engine and all that sort of stuff, it'll be interesting to see what they do with that, because I feel like since Halo hasn't been under Bungie, there hasn't been like a Halo game that I've like really fallen in love with, like compared to the older versions. So I feel like that's gonna have to deliver on that franchise. I would be interested to see what they do with Forza as well. Because obviously Sony showed Gran Turismo 7. And it looked all right. It looked pretty good. But I would also like to see anything similar to sort of like Ori or something similar to that. That would be interesting. You know what I really want to see? It's just like some really good examples of ray tracing.
Oh, yes. Very true.
And like Minecraft is obviously an obvious example of that. So I feel like they're definitely going to show Minecraft ray tracing stuff. Because they've already got that on PC. So it wouldn't make sense if they haven't got that over to console. I don't know. Like, I feel like a lot of this stuff, it feels like a lot of this stuff just isn't ready. Like, they've got all these studios and they're working on a lot of mysterious IP that we don't necessarily know a lot about. Like, Rare's got a new game and they kind of teased it. We haven't seen that. So I'd like to see some of that new stuff, even if it's not, you know, it's obviously not going to be ready for holiday, but like just to give us a better idea of like what's coming in 2021 and even this year. So I feel like this is their chance to say, you know, we've got this studio, this is what we're working on, and here's like a, yeah, here's a glimpse, so to get people hyped. So
no, definitely, and here's a couple of games that my co-host and I, Paris and Pee, we've always been talking about this, but I would love to see like a new Banjo-Kazooie game, bring that back.
Oh, yeah.
You know, they released that DLC content for the Nintendo Switch. That's a whole new audience that some probably got to play this during the Nintendo 64 days. And there's the majority of them, they probably were not alive or they were like very young and they totally forgot about that game. This is an opportunity for them to to buy an Xbox and play that, you know, if it comes out, you know. So
yeah, like the N64 is like one of my all-time favorite consoles because of games like Banjo and like GoldenEye and stuff like that. So
yeah,
I'd definitely be over the moon if there was a new Banjo.
Yeah.
But I would be surprised because I think Rare's, I can't remember what the title that they're working on. They did name it, didn't they?
No, they haven't yet. I mean,
Everwild. Yeah. Everwild, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, I mean, this could be a surprise, I think. I think another studio might work on that game, similar to like Killer Instinct. That was a totally different studio that worked on that, you know. So, what about this game? I know you mentioned Nintendo 64, Perfect Dark. Bring that back. Announce that.
Yeah,
that,
Perfect Dark.
You know, they had, look, Microsoft has great IPs that hasn't been out in a very long time. They haven't been developing these games so long, so it's like this is an opportunity to do it, because Perfect Dark to me was one of my favorite games from Nintendo 64. It was iconic. The 360 version was, I feel like that game was way too rushed and I just didn't like it. I felt it was like a very boring game, so they have an opportunity to bring it back, you know. So
yeah, that would definitely be interesting. And then I wonder if there'll be any like big third party stuff as well. Because obviously they kind of did the event for third parties, but it was basically indie games. Like that, it was just a, I don't know. They promised the Assassin's Creed stuff and then they just didn't show it. So I think what they need to do is really show. I'd love to be able to them to show like some of the tech demos of what's possible with like Unreal 5, but I don't feel like it's going to be that sort of event. But I'd love to for them to show like a little bit more of what we can expect graphically, because I think Sony's kind of done that with Epic Games with that tech demo, like that wowed everyone.
Yes.
And I'd love to see something that was similar that would wow people, and just give us a good understanding, because I don't personally feel like the next gen games, I mean this is the same every gen, but like the initial next gen games that never blow people out of the water, but I don't feel like this generation is going to necessarily be about graphics fidelity, but more the load times and being able to design games in a different way, like asset loading and streaming. And we've seen a little Sony show that like very subtly like the other week, but yeah, I'd love to see that as well. So
yeah, well, one more game before I mention another thing, Fable. I know there's been rumors about a new Fable game. And yeah, I'm waiting for that. Playground, let's go. Let's do it.
Yeah, well, after the, what was the one that was, it Fable? I can't even remember the name of it now. Legends?
Legends. That one was supposed to be a free-to-play game and it got canceled. Yeah. It's okay.
Yeah, I think people would definitely be hyped if there was a new Fable.
Yeah.
That would be... I haven't heard anything about that, but...
Yeah, just don't hype it up like Peter Molyneux saying it's the greatest RPG of our time. You know? We're good.
I feel like they need a good surprise, though.
Definitely.
Because like, we know that it's going to be about Halo, but maybe if there's a new studio or, I don't know, something like that, it wouldn't surprise me.
Yeah.
If there's sort of like a one more thing.
Now, I tell you this, which I think... Sony was very surprised, in my opinion. Smart Delivery, when that was announced randomly out of nowhere a couple months ago. And I think that one of the first third-party developers that announced that game was also going to have Smart Delivery was Cyberpunk 2077. Yep. So how important is Smart Delivery? And do you think Sony was also surprised about that?
Yeah, so I feel like the thing with Smart Delivery is it's obviously a sort of like brand and a naming on it, but I feel like Sony has similar stuff, right? Like they, when you went from the PS3 to the PS4, they also did some Vita stuff, and I can't remember what they called it back then. But they had like a similar sort of thing. They just didn't necessarily like brand it. But I think Sony's like silence on it is the weird thing here. And like we're having publishers come out and saying, oh, we're giving you free game upgrades, but like, you know, in the case of EA, it's like you can only get it from a certain point if they don't go for smart delivery. So I feel like Microsoft's messaging on it is super clear. It's like, you get this no matter what. You buy, I don't know, Destiny 2, and then you on Xbox One, and you decide a year later you want a Series X, you upgrade, and it's there, you know, if publishers have opted in. Whereas with Sony, I feel like the messaging is less clear, and it's left to the point of like publishers like EA that haven't opted into smart delivery, where it's like there might be like a time limit on it, but you still might get it. So I'm disappointed that Sony hasn't really given us a clear message on that. But you would expect that most publishers would be supporting it though. Cause I feel like if you're not going to support it, it's just, I don't know, it's going to backfire, right? But I'm sure there'll be some big ones that don't, but like, yeah. But yeah, it's definitely disappointing that Sony have been super quiet about that. So
I don't think it's come. Maybe in the future, maybe they'll like the company might add it. I don't just see that now for launch, because one of the first games that they showed during the PlayStation 5 reveal was Grand Theft Auto, an enhanced version. Yeah. So if you have Grand Theft Auto on a PlayStation 4, it looks like you have to rebuy this game for the PlayStation 5 and get the enhanced version. So maybe in the future we might see Sony adding that. I just don't see this now for launch at all.
Yeah, I don't think it's definitely not guaranteed for games. And the thing is, it's not like a technical thing. It's literally just a switch in the store, really. Because if they've tested the game for back compat, then, you know, it runs. So it's literally about your digital access to it, essentially. Mm-hmm. So it's not something that would be difficult for them to implement, put it that way. But yeah, the fact that they haven't in such a clear way, I think it just plays to Microsoft's sort of strength, because it, I think even if they do have something or the majority of games are upgraded for free, it's still Microsoft's strength that they're like, you know, smart delivery, this is our thing, and these are the publishers that have opted in. So it's just clearer. So
yeah. And they're branding it big time too, which is a huge thing. Yeah. Now
it's a weird naming, but like,
yeah.
Okay.
but it stood out, like people will remember that smart delivery, you know? So yeah. Now if Sony does the same thing, people are still going to say, oh yeah, smart delivery, you know? So I can see that.
True.
Now the thing that I love about the Sony digital event, I loved it. It was very well produced. I love the editing, you know, because the situation that we're in right now, Microsoft had to do their Inside Xbox, I believe twice now, from home. So you see Phil Spencer from his office saying hello, using his built-in mic, you know, instead of like in a professional microphone and everything, right? But I feel like this time in July, I think that Microsoft is going to be filming from the studio, because
I think so, yeah.
Because the other day there was a tweet where somebody congratulated Phil Spencer, saying that he's been, you know, within the company now for like 30 years. And it looks like he had his car parked at Redmond at the headquarters of Xbox. So I was like, okay, most likely they're going to be filming from there instead of doing this from home, you know? So
yeah, I think it's going to be a lot more highly polished. Like, it's going to be basically their E3 thing, right? So I think what they tried to do with that event the other month was they tried to split out the stuff that was in between to give people an early taste at games. Because let's be honest, those trailers and games would have been the in-between stuff on E3 that you would have seen. And that's not to like discount any of those games or anything, but it's that's essentially what it was. And I think they got the messaging wrong on it, the expectations, because everyone was like, oh, we're going to see gameplay and stuff. And it was kind of, there was a little bit of gameplay, but it was a lot of just trailers, right? So, and I think they would have done better for that sort of event if they just had Phil sitting there just chilling at home with his Xbox Series X and just sort of like talking us through it and showing us a game, showing us a tech demo or something.
Yeah.
Like, that would have been fun. People would have been super into that, and not all the higher production stuff. But I think Sony's definitely set the bar. Like, the way they teased the console throughout the whole thing was kind of fun. And the UI of the new Dash, they're definitely Microsoft definitely had been a lot more transparent and open with their messaging, but Sony's, I think, benefiting from like not saying too much and having all these like secrets and like the console unveil, because like that got some serious attention, like mainstream media attention as well.
Yeah,
like as if it was the you know, a launch thing.
Yeah,
like, even more so than I think it would have done at E3. Like, I think it transcended that. Like, it seemed to get a lot of attention. So
yeah, no, I definitely agree with that, man. So Tom, is there anything else that you're planning to do? Any articles or anything that we look, you know, we should be on the lookout for at The Verge that you would like to talk about here real quick before we end it?
No comment.
No comment. some exclusive content? All right.
Well, I'm hoping I'll be writing about Lockhart soon, like once Microsoft starts announcing it. So.
Oh, okay. There you go. Hint, hint.
Well, I don't know. We'll see, like, to see when, if it's going to be a launch thing or whether they change their mind and stuff, because I think they've been a bit back and forth on it the whole way through. But I mean, what I originally heard all the way back whenever I started talking about the 12 teraflop thing, jeez, I can't say teraflops today, is that there'd be the two consoles, the 4 teraflop, the 12, and that the 12 was supposed to be a surprise, and that the 4 was supposed to be a surprise. Like those are like the surprise points for Sony. And I think it's fair to say that the 12 surprised Sony. From what I understand, and from a lot of the rumors that are out there, they definitely changed some of their clocks. I don't think that their console with the variable CPU and GPU speeds, I don't think it was originally going to hit those speeds. So yeah, so I think they were definitely surprised there. So we'll see whether they're surprised by the second one. So
Tom, I just want to say thank you, man, for taking your time, man, to do this, man. It was a lot of fun talking to you about Xbox and Series X and Lockhart and what else, you know. So remember, guys, go to The Verge and check out the articles that he's been writing on for a while now. And Tom, you want to mention your Twitter account? People want to follow you, because he posts some good stuff, man, all the time, man. In the middle of the night from my time right here.
Yeah, it might be in the morning.
Yeah.
I'm at Tom Warren. So WARREN.
All right, cool, man. All right, thanks a lot, Tom.
Cool, thank you.
There you go.
This podcast is sponsored by IQBar. Your favorite clean, functional, delicious nutrition brand is raising the bar with a little help from Thomas Keller, Michelin star chef of the French Laundry. IQBar and Thomas Keller have teamed up to create a salted caramel chip protein bar and yuzu mango hydration mix. With toasted macadamia nuts, rich caramel flavor, and brain-boosting nutrients, this bar is like having a Michelin star meal in your pocket. Pair it with the taste bud tingling yuzu mango IQ Mix hydration mix, packed with magnesium and adaptogens to improve clarity and mood. With Keller's culinary excellence and IQ Bar's commitment to great taste and clean ingredients, this limited edition collaboration is simply mwah. And the best part is that 10% of sales go directly to Chef Keller's nonprofit, Mentor, that supports aspiring young chefs. Great taste, great nutrition, great mission. Go to IQBar.com today and enter promo code KELLER20 to get 20% off all IQ Bar products plus free shipping. That's IQBAR.com, promo code KELLER20.
This is Gamertag Radio. Voicemail at 786-2737-GTR.
Man, what a great conversation with Tom. Thank you so much, man, for taking your time. That was a lot of fun. Great conversation about Xbox Series X, Lockhart, PlayStation 5, games, and the services. It was a lot of fun. So if you would like to send us your feedback, your thoughts, it could be voice message, email. You could also post on Discord. That's discord.gg/GTR. That's discord.gg/GTR. Thank you for listening, and we'll be back the next episode. We have more content that's coming out, but we're gonna have Gabe from 368. Great conversation with him about working over there at 368, and we talked about also PlayStation 5. He's a huge Sony guy, so we had a great convo about that. Also, the return of Tony Polanco, the Polanco cut. This time we talked about the PlayStation 5 reveal. We recorded this right after the stream. You can follow Tony on Twitter, but he had a lot of things to say about this, about the console. So great conversation. And then we're going to have another interview coming up. If you guys are a fan of Halo or start playing now the new game Disintegration, we're going to have Marcus, the co-creator of Halo, and also he works at his studio at V1 Interactive, and we had a great, great conversation about the game. Lots of content here at GTR, so stay tuned. And P and Power is going to be joining us in the future. We have a lot of crazy things going on behind the schedule, behind the scenes. By the way, I don't know if you saw the announcement that Paris posted on Twitter. He is going to be co-hosting Night City Wire at IGN with the whole crew over there to talk about Cyberpunk 2077. So I believe they're going to have like a pre-show and then an after show right after the stream. Man, that is so cool. Congratulations to my brother, my co-host, Paris Lily, man. Shout out to him, man. Make sure to follow him, Vicious696, over there on Twitter. And also, you can follow me, Godfrey, GODFREE, on Twitter. Just follow me, say what's up, say hello. If you have any questions, comments, just hit me up and we'll interact. As long as not no drama, I'm down to talk. All right, so until next time, I'm out. Thank you for listening to Gamertag Radio.
Thanks for listening to Gamertag Radio. Be sure to like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter.